Discovery. I'm not allowed to drive the golf cart for the rest of the day. You'll hurt someone going as fast as you are, my grandmother says for what might be the 1,000th time, raising her wrinkled hand to make an awning for her face as she frowns at us from the front stoop. Mostly she's talking to me, the older sister behind the wheel responsible for the red face and wild eyes of the younger, the worn brakes and smoking tires. Wind has whipped my long brown hair around my face, and I put a strand in my mouth and chew it, lower my eyes, and try to look sorry. Behind her, Grandpa's wide frame fills the doorway, bunched lips and a silent scowl. He's getting too old to wake up early and walk around the farm like he used to, so my father bought him the golf cart second hand. Grandma waves a white arm back and forth as if swatting a fly, and my sister and I scramble out of the golf cart and slink past her up the porch steps into the house. At 15 and 12, we're not much use here. The farm is only a 10-minute drive from our neighborhood, but it feels light years away. Houses fall back to flat patches of land, roads narrow into ribbons of gravel. Not a library or a Dairy Queen in sight. Here the afternoons stretch out long and hot before us, hours passing so slowly we can't help but want to stir things up. Today I've driven our usual high-speed rounds past the pig pen and the chicken coop, crowded and noisy, and to the old barn where Moose lives, a tired brown horse who spends most of his time flopped down in a pile of hay, watching bugs land on his nose. Across the yard, men push wheelbarrows and drag hay bales, veins popping out along their necks and arms. They heft pails filled with corn and carry them to the red barn that sits high on a grassy hill, where a family of wild cats lives. Stiff, patchy fur, eyes sealed closed with yellow gunk, they hiss and scratch at our legs. We're not supposed to pet them. According to Grandma, they're full of diseases. But our hearts are soft for these mean little things, and the longer they resist our touch, the harder we resolve to love them. My father is here, too. Summers he cuts back his hours at the post office to help his father around the farm, though we all suspect Grandpa is milking it, riding beside my father in the golf cart, barking orders. Them grain sacks need fillin', and slop them sows while you're at it. He snaps a hand to his lower back and winces in exaggerated pain, watching my father hurry in and out of the shed, legs buckled, arms braced beneath heavy canvas grain bags. After a day of this, the car ride home is spent in silence, my father tense at the wheel, the last of evening's rays glancing off his hardened jaw. From my seat in the back, I trace the hulk of his shoulders with my eyes, the muscles that coil and flex beneath his shirt sleeves. But no matter how in awe I am of my father's strength, my mother is unimpressed by his plate chattering and newspaper throwing, acts I will later understand are born of a private sadness rather than any capacity for real physical violence. His rages are unpredictable, precipitated by something as simple as a drinking glass left out on the table, a twist tie missing from a bag of bread. Blood rushes to his face, spittle flies from his lips. He grabs the bag and hurls it against the wall. My mother stands aside while he flails and shouts until he is drained of the last sharp word. Exhausted, he draws the blinds and collapses into his armchair, where he broods for the rest of the evening in front of the TV. Without a word, my mother bends and begins picking up flattened pieces of bread, sweeping crumbs into her hand and dusting them over the garbage can. When she steps back and the plastic lid falls shut with a thud, my sister and I unfreeze and resume whatever we've been doing before his outburst. "Your father," she tells us one night after he snapped a plastic lawn chair over his knee and flung it across the backyard, "has no spine. He'll never leave this town." This town. The words are weapons, and she spits them into the air, where they form an image of my strong father leashed to the fields and dirt hills of his past. But for my mother, the escape from her strict parents and their small, five-block Illinois town is a point of pride. She works an hour away at a hospital in Chicago. She met my father shortly before taking the job, a blind date arranged through mutual friends while she was still living at home, the details of their romance so plain and scarce that I've learned to survive on what little scraps she feeds me. Charming with his old flannel shirts and broad, unwavering smile, my mother fell quickly for my father and his promises of a greater life. After all, he was a farmer's son, a man who knew something about growth. Months later, they were married, and in the swirl of honeymooning and house hunting, she'd forgotten all about her earlier plans to move to Chicago. She and my father settled in Shorewood, a quiet suburb only a mile up the road from his parents' farm, and bought a yellow ranch house and a new car so my mother could commute into the city every morning for work. But the initial excitement of the drive quickly faded into exhaustion. Skyscrapers stood obscured behind the persistent smog of road construction, and she spent her morning stalled in traffic, one foot tapping the pedal while the other rode the brakes.